We're going over to the UK now to speak to Mike Sterling. He's been performing in theatre, on television and in concerts for over 20 years. He's starred in major hit musicals in London's West End, most notably in over 1,000 performances as the Phantom in The Phantom of the Opera and as Jean Valjean in Les Miserables. He also starred in Les Miserables' 10th anniversary concert at the Royal Albert Hall. More recently, he's been performing in his own show, Stars of the West End, throughout the UK and Europe. The show features a lineup of principal West End stars, and he's bringing it to La Sala Banus on Thursday the 23rd of March and La Sala Gibraltar on Saturday the 25th of March. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Welcome. Oh, my absolute pleasure.
It's lovely to
chat
to the
with UK.
You. Thank you very much. So tell me, when did this all start for you? Can you remember when you first started performing and being interested in the stage and theatre?
Oh, wow. The first ever time, I think, when I realised, wow, what's this all about? What's that reaction? What's it, you know, to that kind of thing. I was seven. And it sort of grew from then on, really, and I sort of turned semi-professional about when I was quite young, 14, actually. And on from there, went on to... I did a TV show called New Faces back in 87, so that sort of really sort of launched things in towards... going towards, you know, the live and theatres and everything else. And then, the first time I went into... the shows was 91 and Les Miserables.
Fantastic. And did you know that you could sing before you could act? How did you go down the musical route, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I was initially into all kinds of major music and all sorts of genres, really. But then the acting sort of... I knew something was missing, you know, after I'd sort of... done the TV shows and a few other TV shows besides. I thought musicals, and we manager and I at the time said, look, this is where we need to go, and various people that have seen my various performances had said the same. So I went initially through a musical route, more to do with the voice as in singing, but of course with musical theatre the route is through the dramatical sense, and then the music kind of follows on with that. So my route was slightly different to most people that are in the West End at the moment, and certainly have been for quite a number of years. So the musical route, I'm going to say, as in the instrument, was through singing initially, but of course the dramatic sense is paramount within musical theatre, and what really drives the message home.
And looking at some of your notable roles, I have to ask you about the Phantom in Phantom of the Opera. That has to be a lot of guys' dream roles in musical theatre, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And at the time, it still is today, after 31 years. It's quite incredible, really. But I was part of that show. I mean, it's actually since I first went to London, 20 years. Since I opened as Raoul originally. So I was playing both roles at the same time. There were four Phantoms one week and four Raouls, four each in the same week. And so it was a very exciting time to be part of Phantom 2 because it was still fairly new.
And what about the singing? I mean, there's various songs in that are incredibly challenging. I mean, Music of the Night is a beautiful song.
Well, absolutely. It bridges over one moment you're a low baritone, and then the one minute you're doing very high tenoral lines. So I liken it, Music of the Night is both dramatically and musically like spinning a web, and very carefully. It's too much in a certain area will break it. So it's very much like spinning that web. So it's a beautiful piece, but it's one that's got a certain place to find. But I mean, as far as the singing aspects of Phantom, I mean, yes, it's challenging for different reasons. And yeah, I mean, one of the most hardest things to do is at the end of Act One, where he comes out the angel after that they've done the love duet, "All I Ask of You." Mm. I mean, that is very contained and very, and of course there's a lot of anger with it, there's a lot of jealousy with it, he's kind of losing his head at that point. So it's creating this control throughout all that dramatical drive. Mm. So, you know, and you are, I suppose, playing a sort of a psychotic killer 8 times a week. You know, because he's both majestic and, but he's also kind of dangerous guy,
yes.
But also being put upon, you know. So there's so many different facets to the character, really.
And
so
it's
very interesting to play.
Is it hard with musical theatre, unlike maybe pop music, where you might get the chance to sort of take a song and make it your own? Are you kind of less likely or less allowed to do that with musical theatre? Have you got a kind of, are the audience expecting a song to sound a certain way?
Maybe some are, but I mean, generally, you do have your own intonation, obviously, and your own thought process as an actor. So that in itself will how you think will change the sound and change the message. So, but they do encourage you to do your own.
Oh, that's good.
You know, within the creative team, they encourage you to. It's something which evolves very organically rather than trying to attain a certain flavour or colour or sound. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
It's something which does progress naturally through your thought process and you know when it's right.
Yeah. And how about your time with Les Miserables? That's a lot of people's favourite musical, isn't it?
Oh, that's great. I mean, that's great. I mean, that's sort of like... sort of bookended the West End situation, you know. I mean, I did my first job in 91 when I was just 21 years old, and 10 months later of the joining, I was playing Marius.
Gosh.
It was bizarre how quick it happened, really. And following, and then Phantom after that, as I say, the rest is history. And then I went back to play Valjean in 2002, so that was... That was special. And what was great about that as well, that Ken Castle, the director I was with, that was in our production, directing us when I first joined, came back, because he became sort of associate director. Then he sort of, he'd done so many productions, like 28 of them throughout the world in sort of 19 different languages. Truly amazing. And he came back, because he'd left the show for a while, you know, have a break, and then he came back to do the company that I was in, which was great, which was really kind of nostalgic as well.
Yeah,
we talked about the old days, and you know, but I mean, yeah, it was. It's a very grounded, very. It's an amazing piece of theatre, really, and really speaks to people.
Mm.
I mean, there's so many. I mean, it's very grounded. People have asked me, how do you describe it? It's very grounded, it's very current, I think. A lot of the issues, you know, are in a different time, obviously, in period, but...
It's interesting to look at how and why certain musicals have stood the test of time. You know, there are great musicals from the 40s, 50s and 60s, some of which, you know, we still see today, but many we don't. Does it make you wonder why certain musicals last so long and still remain so popular, do you think?
Well, first and foremost, I think you've got to have great tunes. You have to have great... line within that. I mean, for example, if as a producer, as a writer, if people are humming the tunes when they leave the theatre. In fact, they used to run in the older days. You'd have these runners running back to the management saying, they're humming the tunes as they're leaving the theatre. Yes, it's a hit. They know immediately. And there are some musicals which do not. Don't do that, but they provide a different message. But certainly Les Miserables has incredible tunes, and the subject lines. I mean, and everybody loves the downtrodden sort of wronged character who sort of triumphs at certain times. And of course, well, Les Mis, he dies, but he kind of still, it's a very inspiring story, and it's got some wonderful characters in it. It's got, you know, that kind of tale it's got passion going right the way through it in every way, and there's tragedy, there's comedy, there's absolutely everything. So it's very family orientated as well, so everybody can see something different in the show. But yeah, I think that's the is your subject line as well, because initially they didn't people said, you know, I mean, the critics absolutely destroyed it.
Really?
On the reviews, yeah. They all wouldn't last 3 weeks, a depressing load of nonsense and all these sorts of things. And in fact, every time when I do the concerts, and I have to sort of tell them a bit about this, and of course they don't know what show I'm talking about initially, I say, anyway, 33 years later, ladies and gentlemen, after being seen in over 29 different countries and God knows how many languages, in grossed this and been seen by, you know, it makes Les Miserables the most successful musical of all time. And it's true.
Mm.
So skeptics kind of ate their words, didn't they?
It's funny, isn't it? Because if you look at the subject matter and the history and what it's about, you wouldn't think initially that it would make a great musical compared to a typical sort of boy meets girl story, and, you know, that so many other musicals are about. Yeah. But it, as you say, it's all the components that go together that just make it absolutely fantastic.
Well, I mean, Victor Hugo was an absolute, I mean, it's a genius book. I mean, try and get through the 1,200 pages. I mean, it's you talk about detail. Mm. I mean, there's a lot of detail in the musical, but within the book too. I mean, there is so much. I mean, because you can't put everything in.
No.
You can't put absolutely everything. But the main subject matters are, of course, there. But there are some characters, say, in the book that don't feature so heavily in the musical, and vice versa.
Sure.
And it's a genius novel. And it's one which I, as I say, it's a long read, and we all kind of read as part of our research, really, when we were doing it. So after doing that, thinking, wow, and then somebody, it screams out to have a musical written about it. You know, it was it's a one-off piece. There's nothing like it.
So tell us about your show then, Stars of the West End. This was all your doing, wasn't it?
Yes, and I've been coming out to Spain for a few years now, and Martin, who's putting on the who's promoting them, he said, look, you know, it'd be great to. I said, yeah, absolutely. So I've known him for a few years now, and I've been coming out for about that. Yeah, since about 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been phenomenal. So I've got Jo Gibb coming out, who's a bit of a West End ledge herself, and from Cats, from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, to Beauty and the Beast, Rocky Horror Show,
fabulous.
Chicago, and Michael Conway, who's the Jersey Boys, Fiddle on the Roof, you know, and. So the Celts are coming out, because Joe's Scottish, I'm Welsh, and Michael's Welsh. So it's a bit of a Celtish affair.
Fabulous. And what can we expect from the shows, then?
Obviously there'll be Les Mis and Phantom, there'll be Jersey Boys, there'll be Cats, there'll be Oliver, Dream Girls, maybe a bit of We Will Rock You. Well, I mean, we're really, really sort of mixing the bag up, but we're going to have some traditional musicals in there as well. Of course, there'd be Oliver, because I did the role of Faye in China. So,
oh, brilliant.
Yeah, so we'll have a bit of that. It's really going to go sort of beyond the realms. So, you know, a good mix, a very good mix of different, as I say, Beauty and the Beast, that's another one you mentioned. Beauty and the Beast. and many more besides. It's amazing how many shows there are.
Yes, quite it must incredible. Be difficult to choose. If you've just got to choose a selection to fit into a show, it must be really hard to decide which ones to discard.
Oh, we've got Hairspray. Great. Hairspray. You know, so there's some fun stuff as well as the... Mm. It's good to have a balance with regard to musicals, you know, because otherwise it can either be very, very sort of exhausting, you know. I mean, because it's, you can have a good mixture of the sort of powerful, serious stuff, fun stuff, and just generally, you know, sort of good, energetic sort of things, you know, make people feel good.
And do the audience sometimes sing along, or is that frowned upon?
Not at all. I mean, not in Music of the Night.
No. They'd ruin that.
I remember once, but very quickly, I was doing a theatre, actually, a concert, and I was singing Music of the Night, and it's right at the end, and the floating, falling, and it's a really... I talked about spinning this web really carefully.
Yeah.
And I could hear in the background, love it all. There's this lady singing. I mean, quite... proper, you know. And I had to... At that point, I just kind of held the orchestra for a bit, and I went, excuse me, darling. And everyone's wondering what I'm going to say, and I went, it's not a duet. But it was very, you know, not in a kind of unkind way.
Yes.
But, it was quite funny, brilliant. Because the light came on her then, the spotlight came round, and it's not a duet, but we'll have a chat later. Yeah, and then I had to go back in the song, but I had to say something, because it was notably quite... audible, and everyone had turned around. So, but those are the things that make live theatre live and human. Doing Music of the Night, maybe not. But then again, it wouldn't be so a surprise had it not been that particular song.
Yes, fantastic. Well, if people want to go and see...
But they can join in if they want to, yes. In music,
yes.
They can join in Hairspray and all that other stuff, and the Rat Pack stuff.
Brilliant.
We have as well.
Well, the number to book at either of the La Sala events, Thursday the 23rd of March is in La Sala Banus, and Saturday the 25th of March in La Sala Gibraltar. The number to call is 952-814-145, and get booking as soon as possible, because these should definitely be full events. Mike Stirling, thank you so much for joining us, and we're really looking forward to seeing you soon here in Spain.
Pleasure, Hannah. Thank you very much.
Thank
See you.
You
all there.
I've got one of your songs here, Bring Him Home, from Les Mis, so we're going to finish on that.
Ah, thank you.
Thanks, Mike. See you soon.
Bye-bye, Hannah.
Bye-bye.
God, have known. If God had granted me a son, the sun has died one by one. How soon they fly on, and I am old and will be gone.
joy. He is young, he is only a boy. You can take, you can give. Let him be, let him live. If I die, let me die, let him live. Bring him home.
Absolutely fantastic. Bring Him Home from Les Miserables, sung by Mike Sterling, who is coming to the Costa del Sol with his Stars of the West End show. Very much looking forward to that.